Hello, everyone, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast on tabletop role-playing games and folks that enjoy to play them, create them, all of that. We dig into and talk about the alchemy of this magical hobby that we have. And my name's Brian. I'll be your host, and welcome to the show. Welcome aboard. So with this interview, we are wrapping up the series of interviewing the cast of Darkness Over New Orleans, which is a Vampire the Masquerade game that is on Twitch every Thursday night on the Roll for Dylan channel on Twitch. Highly recommended that you check this game out. And we're going to finish this up with an interview with Robin. This is just a wonderful conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I really enjoyed sitting down and talking with Robin. I think you'll be able to tell that. A couple notes. We recorded this some time ago, and during that time, we were both sharing a table for a Twitch game called The Tales of Lan Lanair that was also run by Dylan on the Roll for Dylan channel. And unfortunately, we're not sharing that table anymore. That game did get wrapped up, and hopefully in the future, I'll be able to share a table with Robin. I certainly hope so. There's also a little bit of a blip you may catch. We had to do a quick pause for kiddos as Robin is a parent. And being a parent myself, I completely understand. So I did snip out a small interruption from the Wee Goblins. And that is perfectly fine. But if you catch that, that's what's going on there. The conversation itself, I would say, is just a fascinating discussion on passion, on following your dreams, on letting them take you, letting them take you where you end up going. I know that sounds pretty vague, but you'll understand that, I think, more as we get into the interview. And it was just an all-around wonderful jaunt through Robin's actually very short history of playing role-playing games. So, yeah, I'm going to jump into it. We do have some announcements I want to touch on. Real quick, there is next week, the Natural Geekery Wildest Plus Twitch stream will be up on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. The Bake Shop Irregulars will continue into Episode 3. Over on the Natural Geekery Twitch channel. Please check that out. And I want to thank our patrons over on our Patreon for continuing to support the show. It's very humbling and rewarding, and thank you so much. So we'll talk more about that on the backside of the interview. But for now, let's jump into the interview with Robin, and hope you all enjoy it. All right, everybody. Hello, and welcome to the next interview in this series where I am interviewing the cast of Darkness Over New Orleans. I am joined this evening by Robin, who is on the game stream. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. I have the pure honor of playing with Robin in our other game on Twitch, Tales of Lan Lanair. Did I say that right? I always say
Lan Lanair.
Lan Lanair. Thank you. And so I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. Thanks for agreeing to be on the show.
Oh, we have a blast. So I know this is going to be good.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to kick it off straight off the bat. Normal questions. Tell everyone a little about yourself so folks can get to know you. What do you do? What your interests are outside of gaming? Just anything you want them to know that you feel comfortable talking about. So just kind of let us a little bit in on who Robin is, and then we'll move on from there.
Wonderful. Well, I very simply, I'm a video producer. I'm a content creator. I storytell online. I do online LARPing, and recently I started to do in real life LARP. First time ever.
Okay, let me make a note.
And you might know who this individual is. He is also a GM within the Dungeons and Dragons community. Oh, not Dungeons and Dragons, but then the storytelling community. Matt Stormcrow, who's also on TikTok under Matt Stormcrow as well.
Yes.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, so he's running that in Austin, Texas, which is just an hour and a half away. So brand new baby out the womb, we're going to be starting that. It's also Vampire the Masquerade, so that's really
Okay.
wonderful. I've never done an in real life LARP. You're going to have to give me tips and tricks and advice because I'm playing a
Oh, you'll have so
ghoul.
much, you're gonna have so much fun.
Yeah, so starting off like how I did with Vampire, I started off with I don't know anything about this game, and what held me back for so long playing any sort of game was the concept that I needed to know rules front to back. I needed to know things cover to cover before I even
Okay.
started playing. I needed to know these things, and that's not the case. No, you learn along the way, and a good group will support you and help you grow as well. So I
Absolutely.
decided when I played Vampire, the TTRPG online, that I would begin as a neonate, somebody new. And for the in real life LARP, instead of going in and as a seasoned veteran, because I do know a lot about the Vampire tabletop, but playing a LARP itself, that's a different dynamic, I would think.
Just a little bit. Just a
And
little bit.
yeah, so I decided, all right, well, I'm not going to be a vampire. I'm going to be a vampire's ghoul, somebody who's relatively new, who's human. So I can play ignorance if I want to. Maybe I can get away with it. Maybe not. We'll see.
That's the fun.
But exactly. I'm also a self-taught makeup artist.
Okay.
After XX, I also play Ambrose Windsor in the Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle that we have going on right now, Darkness Over New Orleans. Dylan is our storyteller, role for Dylan. And we play again in Tales from Lanlonaire. I play a Dampier Druid who, of course, it has to be vampire. I gotta stick with it.
Okay. Gotta stick with
It's what I know.
the
It's what I know.
theme.
But yes, that's who I am, and
Nice.
that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So I know you are fairly new to role playing. Tell us your origin story. How did you get started? What was your first game? How did it all come together for you?
All right. Oh, that's a bit. Okay,
Yeah,
so
go for it.
I'm ready for this. So I 2 years ago, I've never rolled a set of dice. I went into role playing with text LARPs and
Okay.
for that. So that's like a different dynamic. That's something different. But I went into it with text LARPs on Discord, where I'd be invited to servers, role playing with people through writing and having established scenes and things. But video production, character design, putting that all into a collaborative work into a theater production was where I started on TikTok, the storytelling part of it, the very, very beginning, back in 2019 when we were doing our collaborative magical little works on TikTok,
Right.
storytelling there. But that's where it started, just making characters on TikTok. Making stories that go with that. And it was as if, okay, well, there's everybody else's sandbox. Everybody else is telling a story. I think I have a story to tell too. I enjoy telling stories. But gosh, I can't impose on anyone. So I guess I'll just play the antagonist, the protagonist, the love interest. I'll make my own story. I'll make my own sandbox. But then there came other people that were like, hey, can we play in your sandbox? Yes, here's a shovel. Start digging. Let's go. Let's make a story. So the side that's the gaming interest originally came with all these people that I didn't know were game players, were GMs, and they wanted to interact with me and little things that I would do. And so I was introduced to Dungeons and Dragons and Vampire and other role-playing, things. But how I got started with role-playing games, it wasn't tabletop. It was something that I planned, something that I was interested in playing, and I didn't know where to start. But it was, funky little thing back in 2018. TikTok came out. It was fun. People were doing, it was the cosplayers where the cosplayers were. So it was just learning how to build a character. How do I do that?
Right.
learning how to interact with people through videos. A lot of these weren't planned either. It was just spur of the moment. I'm going to make this video. And then somebody else makes a response. And you get enough people, and all of a sudden you have an online LARP going on. You don't even know it until you are at the end of season one. And you look back and you're like, oh my God, we made an entire storyline together. And you were part of that as well. You were a big part of that as well. But
It
it
was
wasn't
so
an,
much fun. So
it
much fun.
was.
It was, and just real quick, did you, so at the time, you didn't know that you were, I guess video LARPing is the best word for it.
Didn't even know.
You were just in the mix.
I didn't know what LARP
And
was. I didn't know what TTRPG was. If somebody said, "Hey, you want to play TTRPG? You want to LARP?" I would look at them like, "What are those acronyms? I don't understand what that is at all." So by playing with you, with everybody else, it opened up an entire different world of what could be in this art. And it's a performance. It's an art performance. It's theater. It's a play that you're putting on.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
But there was an aha moment of people starting to notice, people starting to ask questions about stories, and then you having to make pause real quick.
That was
Thank you,
great.
everyone.
That was awesome.
Gosh. But yeah,
You
the
were okay, so you were saying aha moment. You
yeah,
had an
the
aha.
aha moment was when people started asking questions about characters' backstories, how do I world build? They would come into my lives and ask, how do I create a character? And I didn't know what to say, really, except I don't know. I just put on the costume and I start to go and I start making plans. And so now I had to build a world. I had to build a world around this character. And how was that going to look like? And it made me think more about it. And then when other people get involved with collaborative storytelling, what is their expectation of how they will enjoy this collaborative effort? What do they want to bring to the table? What do they want out of it too? So now I have to think not only do what I want out of it, but what do you want out of it too as another character? So then there comes that moment where you're getting one person, two person, three person. Now you have a little campaign, you have a little coterie. You don't even know it. And so that's where that started. But I reached the beginning, I reached out to Dylan as soon as I saw I was online and I saw Jason Carl, who's the marketing manager and produced one of the producers and writers for Vampire the Masquerade. New York by Night. He did LA by Night as well. And I saw him playing with his group and it just snapped like, this is what I want to do. I want to play that because they didn't play as if they were just rolling dice. It was interpersonal. It was deep. And there was a story to it. It was theater. And I said, this is what it is. This is what I want to do. This is what I've been doing since I jumped on that dinky little app. This is what we've been doing. It's like,
The little app that could.
I've been training for this moment since 2018, 19.
I don't know. I'm gonna ask some questions. Feel free, you don't have to answer them. But I think you were training for this moment far before then. So were you into acting? Were you a theater kid?
Know what? I wasn't.
You weren't?
I didn't do. I didn't do any theater. I was
Okay.
absolutely. It was strange. I was absolutely the people pleaser. So I took
Okay.
on. In school and in college, I did. I look. You look at me, but I was the ROTC kid. I was the kid who
Okay.
was, number 15 in graduating class. But I took so much, did so much education, and I didn't have time to do the things that I love to do. I wanted to do art, and I was great at it. I wanted to
Okay.
do theater, and I thought, man, I could excel in that. I wanted to do set building and art and music. And I allowed myself in college to take a video editing course. And it
Okay.
was, just getting started with the very basics back in 2008. And I thought, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. It's not something that is it's a social, something socially acceptable. YouTube was still rather new. And I looked at YouTube and I thought, this is gonna, people would say, no, this isn't gonna replace television. Nothing can replace television. Absolutely not. This is just an online thing. It's gonna pass. And I thought, I looked at it and I looked at these people who were doing makeup, and I thought, this is the future. This is going to replace TV one day. But I wasn't conventionally, I guess, attractive, thin, blonde, didn't have the social standards. I'm a very pretty, I have very good confidence and stuff. But back then I thought, these, I don't know. It was challenging. I was like, man, I think I could excel. I don't look like these people, but I feel like I have the passion to excel in this if given the chance. But I didn't have a laptop. I didn't have a computer at home back in 2008. I didn't have the smartphones that we have now. And so years down the road, here comes TikTok, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. Who's gonna judge me? I'm gonna be in my room. The kids are going to be asleep. My husband at the time, he's going to be at work. It's just going to be me, my makeup, a phone balanced on top of some books, and I'm just going to do something.
I'm
That's all.
applauding.
Yeah,
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
we're just going to do something. And I'm sure you probably started the same way. Everybody probably started the same way on TikTok in their bathrooms, putting the phone down because that's the only good lighting you have, and then the ring lights come out, and then you learn more about production when you have this community of cosplayers, or this community of video producers. No matter how amateur they are, you're learning from them. Set designs, acting, lighting, writing, and you're learning it from your phone, just from the touch of a screen. And I thought that was quite resourceful for just the beginning of storytelling. And then getting into that, then I later got into role playing and figuring out there's a more expansive world than I ever thought when it came to telling a story. And I believe it's evolved to something different, especially with COVID and everybody on lockdown. Everybody is forced inside of their house. What do? You're going to be miserable. You're going to be alone. What are you going to do? You're going to enjoy yourself and find that passion again. So I didn't have that passion before, or the drive before. It was more people pleasing. And so then during COVID, it made me discover that this is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy. And where else am I going to go?
Nice. And here you are. Like
Here I
it what it's so I remember talking to Dylan, and it was during that first vampire game, and I thought you had been a role player for a while.
Really?
Yes, because of you wanting to interact, the story you were telling, how you interacted with everyone, how you naturally took to the beats of the story. And then I was like, oh no, this is her first game. I was like, what? What? Okay, all right, cool.
Well, not technically, because I started with you online, just doing
Well,
TikTok stuff.
right, but all of that was you have been able to take all that TikTok stuff, as you put it, and use it seamlessly into the role playing art form, right? Like, yeah, I remember having another talk with another TikToker. This was probably 2 years ago when they revealed to me, they were like, you realize most people don't know what a LARP is. And I was like, what? All these people are LARPing. We're LARPing in 30-second little bites.
That's right.
We're spending 8 hours to make a 30-second video, but we're all LARPing and responding off. This is just a LARP. They
That's
don't
all.
know
And
that, but yeah, it was
absolutely, completely ignorant to this whole world,
amazing.
people like you who are GMs, who are players as well, who've been in the business quite a while,
Yeah,
it's
been the
not
biz.
been in the business are teaching newer generations, or generations that had no idea that this existed before, that there's another way. And that's great. Let's see.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so awesome to see. It's so awesome to see folks like yourself just come to it with this natural talent, like this natural ability to be like, yeah, we're role playing now. Like, oh, that's what you call it? Oh, that's what I've been doing over here on this other platform that was never intended for role playing, but oh, that's what we call it now. Okay. Oh, I need to use dice. Okay, not a big deal. and be focused on the story instead of the numbers so much, right?
Right.
Like it's a lot of
And I think,
theater folks get that, but a lot of
yes.
folks like to hear that you didn't even have theater in your background.
I had one thing. I had the relationships with people, with you. Like I know you. I knew your work, what you did, what you liked, the things you would post. I knew friends as well. And once I saw this phenomenon happening, people streaming their games. I didn't even know what Critical Role. I knew what Vampire was before I knew what Critical Role was. Didn't have any idea what that was. Still learning.
It's and Critical Role is very much a microcosm of a way you can play D&D, but there's so many different ways you can play D&D
So many different ways.
or
So many
any
different
role-playing game.
ways. Yeah. And but when I saw Jason Carl as a storyteller, I was like, this is it. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know the rules. I don't know how to what these dice numbers, letters, symbols mean. I have no idea what I'm getting into. And so I go to Dylan, roll for Dylan, and I go in his DMs and I'm like, listen, you have to run a game. Can you do this? Is it possible? And immediately he was like, my brain is on fire. The next day he messaged me back, his brain was on fire. He was writing, writing, writing. And I was like, cool. Let me ask around for, to see who else might be interested. I have no idea. How I would even pitch this, because hey, I've never done anything like this before. I don't know what I'm getting into. I can't tell you any details, but we're gonna play vampires and we're gonna have fun. Wanna, and it's a dark world apparently. Wanna join? They're like, sure. So it just evolved from there.
Can you come over to my yard? We're gonna play cowboys and Indians. But wait,
Hey, my
no,
mom.
sorry, we're gonna play vampires.
Yeah, that's right. My mom said that I could spend the night. If your mom says you can, I can. Yeah, I'll bring
Oh,
snacks.
that's amazing. So what was okay. So what do you think the for you the biggest hurdle was to do it at on a table live on Twitch? Because a lot of times people get into role-playing games and they're doing it like in somebody's on some around somebody's dining room table without an audience, right? Like, so for you to play with an audience first time live, what were some hurdles? Because with TikTok, and I've talked about this with some other TikTokers on my podcast, with TikTok, you have time to plan. You have time to be like, oh, I've seen their video. I'll watch it three or four times. Okay, I got it. Now I'm gonna maybe write out a little bit of a script, or I'll have an idea of what I want to do, and then I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do post-production or not. Like there is a systematic process that's different for everyone, but we all go
Right.
through it. But it's much different when you're at a table live with four other people throwing stuff at you. So let's
Right.
talk about that. Like, what was that hurdle? Was
Yes,
that, did you just take, I think you took to it
it
pretty
was
well from what I was watching,
her.
but
This
go
was a
ahead.
huge, this was a huge hurdle.
Okay.
The very first time I got a, I was ready. I was gonna go for this, and I felt my hand shaking because I'm like,
Oh,
there are people watching. There
yeah.
are people, there's the judgment that's instant because there's chat there. First episode, I think I was a little bit too concerned about having to, these are the lines, and these are the lines, and you stay inside them. You don't go outside of them. You just stay in this little bubble, and that's where everything will be fine. However, I believe that considerate play helps immensely. So going into it more, considerate play, talking about and dialogue, I think is the most important thing, especially when it comes to sessions before we play. So Dylan has session zeros. We play this, we play a game before we even jump on. So it's like the prequel, the game that you don't see that's happening. But we talk about it and then episode one happens. So considerate play, talking about people's boundaries, what their expectations are for a fun game. This is what I want to, this is how I'm going to play my character. This is my character. This is kind of what I want to get out of the game. These are some things that I want to do. Here are the expectations for just how I want to interact with people. Also, tell me your boundaries. And so, having that conversation, I think, was so very important to know not only what's okay for this other person, for their character, but how I can make that experience a fun one for what they want to experience in game. A big one for me is having the interpersonal relationships, the seduction of being able to find out who this other character is, episode by episode, moment by moment that we have with each other. If it's something small or something emotion charged, those are really important for. For me especially, but for other people, what their experiences, what they want to take out of the game. So having that conversation right before, I think, is the bread and butter of before you start out. Get to know the people you're playing with, whatever they want to answer about their characters, but having that considerate play conversations. So I think I can't imagine playing without a session zero anymore to get to know people. And you know your friends, but do you know how they're going to play and what actions they're going to take? And if I do this, how are you going to do this? So it's you got to think quick, but also, yeah.
I agree 100% on session zeros. I come from the time before when there was no, you didn't have session zeros. And I look back on some of that and I'm like, holy cow, like session zeros would have, like, where were they? Why did, like, how did, of course, it was always close friends from like high school, you know, or college or whatever, but session zeros, even with good friends, they have become such a key component of a successful game. I
Absolutely.
can't stress them more.
I have a question for you.
Oh boy. Okay.
So DMs, GMs, DMs, storytellers, they check in with their audience for considerate play. They talk about consent. They'll have moments, during break, before they'll jump in the game, after game. How's everybody doing? How's the headspace? What can we do to improve it? Or if we need to come back down from it, do I need to step back? Do I need to, change scenes? Is there ever a moment that you feel or that you'd want to establish where your players check in with you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And do
Like,
they do that? Yeah.
it depends on the game I'm running and the players, but for the most part, especially with session zeros now becoming a staple, I'll usually have a list of what you'll be able to look ahead and see, okay, this scene could be problematic. But I think to answer your question, yes. And I think it's a gut sense around the table, and it can be not from discomfort, but can it also be with from boredom. If I'm a GM and I'm looking around the table on just a standard sitting around the living room table, and a lot of my players are on their phone and they seem to not be attentive to what's happening, even if it's not their scene, I would stop the table and be like, okay, hey, just to checking in, are we all good here? Is there anything I can do? Where are we
Right.
at? Is there something, do we need more action? Do we need more? Are you guys not jiving with the romantic political drama I'm throwing at you and you need some goons to break in the door? Like, where are we? I've
Right.
done that before. And yeah, I think it's super important. It's super important to do that.
Yeah, you storytellers wear so many hats. They're juggling entire stories. You guys are having your notes out in front of you. You guys are writing before, anticipating what could automatically change a scene because you had planned for this one thing, but something else happens, and you have to immediately figure out how we're going to shift this.
Absolutely.
And also, emotions come into play with not only the NPCs you play that may be difficult or just surprising, but also the characters, the playable characters that are coming at your NPCs or whatever challenge you put into place. So yeah, I've been thinking about that lately. Like, okay, the storytellers are here for us, the GMs are here for us, and they wear so many hats. Who is going to be there for them? So I don't know. I wish for, we have this little thing called stars and wishes, but if I had a wish right now, it'd be for all players to sort of get into the norm, have it be the norm to check in with the DM, GM, storyteller, just as much as they're being checked in with.
I think with a good group that happens, especially if it's a long-standing troupe, that happens. I think if you're sitting down at Gen Con for a one-shot game, that might happen. That could happen, but you can have such an odd variety of people around the table. But if you're any sort of long-standing game, even if it's like a 5 or 6 shot, I think you're going to generate that awareness
Absolutely.
of what else is going on around the
Oh,
table.
yeah.
And I think it takes a particular player to be able to look at the GM and be like, "Hey, are you okay?
Yes,
Are you okay?
it.
You seem a little like you seem distracted, or you seem because a lot of times I think, oh, you're really going to get me going now. There's
Good.
a thing between GM and player, right? A lot of standard stereotypical D&D games. I'm just using D&D as because a lot of people come to that first. Beginner games where either A, it's DM versus player, and it's a confrontational relationship where I'm making monsters to try and kill you, and you're trying to fight my monsters to beat me. And there's like a sense of competition there. And some people like to play that way. That's not my cup of tea. But there's also a sense that, okay, I'm a player. You're here to entertain me, GM. You're here to play the movie for me, and my player gets to run through the movie that you've made. And I'm also, that's a very beginner way to take it, but there is
It's
some of
so much
that.
more
There is some of
complex
that.
than that.
Oh, it's much more complex than that. And I like to say that a GM does all their work beforehand, and then when the game starts, it's up to the players. And if I can sit back and simply answer questions, or maybe get to play an NPC, or to throw a little bit of trouble here and there. But if I can sit back and let the players interact based on what I've thrown at them, and 75% of my session is sitting back watching what's going on, that's a successful session as a GM because I've done all the work ahead of
Yes,
time.
I agree completely. I agree completely.
Those are
And it
kind of
also,
golden grails, but they happen. They do
yeah, and
happen.
yes, and you also get into the mode of knowing your character, knowing your GM, and you know how you look around the table and you see anybody, you know, that's on their phone or just sort of distracted. I'll do that in games a few times, you know, sometimes. If I find the other characters seem to be a little bit more quiet than usual, you know, what would be a really cool way to engage for that expectation of what they wanted to bring to the game to
Right.
be met?
Right.
Because they want something out of the game. Everybody wants something out of the game. They want to have fun. So how can I engage that?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's bravo. Yes,
Yeah.
I agree
In
with you.
season one, I talk about in my podcast, there's an episode where I talk about contract at the table and how there is a contract that everyone is here to have a good time. And everyone has their own sense of what that good time is. That's why CS Session Zeros are so important, because
So
you're
important.
getting that out there. This is what my expectations of a good time are, and this is what my expectations of a bad time are, and I would
Yes.
like to find something in the middle. Yeah, there's it's a way of sussing out what your players want in the story. There is a really great line in the Fate role-playing game that says, for GMs, a player will always tell you what they want in a game by the character they're playing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So,
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
So if a player is playing a sneak thief that likes to, an upper story sneak thief, they're gonna want stealth and sneaky and
You can write an
stealing
entire
and
book on that. I love it. Yes.
And if you guys playing a barbarian with a double-headed axe, you kind of have an idea, right? Like, he's gonna want barbarian
Someone's
things.
very secretive. Looks like I should do some investigation and dissect this individual.
Right. And
Let's
so
seduce
it's
it out.
exactly. So there's a lot that can happen in that session zero that can help solidify the troop to be like, okay, we're all in this together. And then you have a couple sessions that can be kind of clunky. And then it's either, I think we've talked about this before. I think I've mentioned this, but there's always a certain moment. It's either a fight or a bad situation, usually, that brings the team together to where that's when things start to gel and the players start to, not the players, the players stop interacting and the characters start interacting.
Yes. Yes.
And that's always the best. It's such a,
it brings a heart and a flesh and a blood to this game that was just, okay, we're going to go from A to B, from B to C, and you might encounter some stuff along the way. And it brings life to it.
Absolutely.
When we face those moments that are particularly hard for self-sacrifice to happen or for darkness to arise out of a character that we would have never thought that possible before. Mm-hmm. So it reveals more about the characters and what they would do in situations and how far they would go. It's yes, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's the flesh and blood.
It's
crave
it's
those moments.
It's the mana of
oh, what
we're
I crave
doing
those
here.
Moments.
Yeah. And it's
hurt me. good.
And it all goes back. Like it goes back to there's a rule for writers. You probably have heard it, you know, kill all your darlings.
Yes.
And it's kind of, there are some GMs that maybe go a little too far with that, but where you look at a character, right? And you're like, okay, there's the character. Where can I poke at it? Like, where can I, as a GM, where can I throw curveballs at them or destabilize them so they can really find their character?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of thought that goes into it that I think aware and compassionate players like yourself, you pick up on. And you appreciate that in a GM. There's a lot of players that may not. Like I just like players that just want to kill the goblin, right? They just want to kill the troglodyte. But
bad things have to happen to good characters sometimes. Yes. Or else what are you doing in life? What are you doing in a story? It's not a story.
Right. Exactly.
Stay at home. You would be like Bilbo Baggins never leaving his front door for that adventure.
Right. Right.
Have that life if you want to.
Yeah. And it's and I've talked about this before too, about the whole sense of having someone that is a common person being surrounded by uncommon events.
Yes.
That can shift the character around. One of my favorite characters I ever played was a messenger boy who walked into the wrong store at the wrong time. And it was amazing. Like it was a science fiction game and he was just a messenger guy. And
no, I love that. I love that that's the beginning of your character's story. It's just they're normal and they're a normal NPC character. They're living their greatest NPC life. And then all of a sudden they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. They're the main character. And what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. And I think a lot of beginning players want to play the main character. And then you start to kind of think about that in a different way. Like, no, I want to play the NPC that is suddenly the main character. Like,
yes.
How did I get here? Oh my gosh. How do I get out of this? I just want to go back to my messenger business. But anyway. Now,
it reminds me of this book that I read. It's called Cry to Heaven by Anne Rice. But the very the very first line of the book, I knew I was going to be reading it front to back that whole night because of the very first line of the book, the character's name was castrated. Like at eight, like he was castrated. Okay. I was like, oh, is that how we're beginning the book? Is that how we're
starting
entering?
It that way.
This is where we're starting? What?
Right.
Okay. I had a vampire character in mind for like a future game. And I was like, I want to start where I'm torpored, where I have a stake in my heart. I've been there for God knows how long. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not in me anymore. And I'm awake.
And there's a bunch of other characters standing around me trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Right. What time am I in? Who are these people? Right.
That's brilliant.
Where did my past life go? And what year is it? Like that was something that's been playing around in my head. But just like your messenger character, one moment they're this NPC and the next they are the main character, the hero, and danger is all around them. What's going to happen?
Right.
Go.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Good stuff. Wow. So we've hit so many points I wanted to talk about. I'm trying to go back over here and think about, I know I want to get to LARPing, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. You've talked about the kind of role-playing you like the most, right? You, you really, I think you did. You really like the interpersonal.
Yeah,
you
it's
like
it's it's interpersonal. It's I want I like the seduction of learning who a character is. I want to know it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but like we were saying, the moments that establish the heart and flesh and blood of a character are my favorite. I love romance, loss, grief, conflict, humanity, self-sacrifice, rage, those moments of character building and finding camaraderie, as we were talking about, through this adventure, and then letting their relationships organically develop from there. You lost a character. Now all you have is your coterie, your group. How are you going to depend on them? And how does your coterie react and or your camp, your group react in kind? But no, I am a I am a sucker for just the romance, the emotion, the everything. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's, and it's, that's, it's perfect fuel for vampire. Absolutely perfect. But I want to ask, are there other genres and or games that you're like, you're eyeing, you're giving the old side eye to besides D&D or fantasy, right? Like, well, you can use, you can say fantasy, of course, because there's all sorts of versions of fantasy, right?
But right.
Like, what are you giving the side eye to right now? Like, I know you're focused on vampire and your character's there and the game we're on with the fantasy D&D, but.
I am very much focused on vampire. However, the genre that I, is just mana from the gods to me is horror.
Okay.
Horror right. games.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm so new to this. So I don't know. You can ask me like, what game you want to play? I'm sorry. I know what D&D is. I know kind of what Pathfinder is. I've been told what it is. Right. I know what vampire is because I'm playing, but what else is out there?
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, you are an enthusiast. You know that it's endless. But Dylan introduced me to like a little Hellraiser game that we were playing. And I thought, oh my God, this is it. I want to play horror. I want to play the nastiest, dirtiest, crunchiest characters in the most horrific world. And I just want to have fun with that. But asking, you know, what game I want to play first, I have no idea what else is out there.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is out there. But that's so exciting for me to go into this TTRPG, this role-playing world, not knowing. When I first played Vampire, I didn't know what I was going to get into. And all of a sudden, this entire world opens up. And each session, each moment is a new experience for me. And it's so exciting. It's like breathing for the first time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So exciting.
How exciting. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to live vicariously through you for the next few years. Is that okay?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So when we are playing our D&D campaign together, the things that we hit against the challenges or storylines that open up, I just figured out what like a gelatinous cube is. I am horrified. Like what else is there? Playing with you in game,
goodness.
you're gonna see in real time, like, what is this that I'm facing? How am I supposed to defeat it or work together with my group? So this is all a very new experience. You get to see it in real time.
I love it.
The discovery.
I just want to say I'm honored because it's so cool.
It's a trip, and people from individuals from, I can't say who, because they told me I can't say anything because I didn't write out a DNR. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I didn't.
They were just like,
that's okay, a DNR.
You know, I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm doing Zoom meetings with these people, and they are not only at the top of these companies that are doing role play stuff. They're not only have been storytellers and players for here since the 80s, since the 70s, like, and I'm sitting in front of them and they're asking me the same kind of questions you are. What other things are you interested in?
Right.
And I tell them, what else you got?
Yeah.
What else do you have?
Yeah. just like,
so what would you recommend for me? What would you recommend for me?
Okay.
I like story, interpersonal.
Now that you ask.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend that you, I'm not going to recommend a game right now. I'm going to recommend that you wrap yourself up in all the newness and just enjoy the hell out of it. that's like, if I had to go back
Perfect.
to beginner RPG Nat Geek, I would be like, oh, just wrap yourself up in how much fun you're having.
Yes.
And make sure you keep it fun. Like
I
that's
thank you for
probably,
that.
game wise, oh my gosh, Robin, oh Lord, whoosh.
I know.
But
I can see it behind your eyes.
horror wise, I would say you definitely need to give a run at Call of Cthulhu.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is an old standby. It's an old nugget of good horror. It's just a good old insane time. There are so many different game systems out there that lean more heavily into storytelling and narrative and less on the crunchiness of die rolls. Some of the Powered by the Apocalypse games, which are a whole series of games that are kind of, it's an open game license kind of vibe.
Wow.
I think there's some horror ones out there. There's definitely like Monster of the Week, which is more like an X-Files
What? Okay.
supernatural.
You're gonna have to tell me everything about this when we get
Well,
off. You're gonna have to send
all
me.
right. I'll send you stuff.
Oh, you got to. You have to.
I haven't run it. Some of you who are listening that have played in my Monster of the Week game, we may have a new player. But I run a Monster of the Week game that I absolutely adore. And
Wow.
it's a lot of
You
fun.
had me. You had me at Monster.
Okay. All right.
You had me a monster.
So yeah, okay. I would say just enjoy the ride. Like just enjoy the newness of it. And
Oh
just
God. And it's great because it brings up these new experiences that I would have. And it's what you see online when we film, when we stream live, those are genuine surprises. I don't know what I'm getting into. I don't know about what's planned or what else could be possibly in this world. So when it's presented to me, that is just, it's so much fun. And it's easy to play when you're having so much fun. Moments for us in game that I really, really loved. It was just one particular moment. And I stand by that. I believe that, we should joke, we should have fun, but no character should be the joke. Like you shouldn't make the character to be the joke. That lacks substance to me, and I ugh, don't like that. However, with it was a moment in game that we had where we, me and you were presented with the door. Okay, now
The candy
to
door.
the candy door,
The
to the
candy
audience,
door.
to the other players, it seemed like okay, this was the joke. But the thing is, my character was raised by hags, so she has a story of children. Licking the gingerbread door, eating the gingerbread off the house. And then the witch comes out, the door opens, the witch comes out. And so in her naivety, in her innocence,
There
right?
you go.
She turns to Simmons and's like, well, I'm gonna lick the knob. One of us has to lick the knob. Who's gonna lick
Perfect.
the knob? Who's gonna put their mouth on the knob? And so everybody is blushing, cracking up. And
And
then we have Simmons fisting her hair so that she can lick the
Mm-hmm.
knob in total innocence that this is going to work. Of course it is, because it's worked in the past with these tales of the gingerbread house. So why wouldn't this door open?
And
Nothing
somehow
happens.
the two most naive characters in the game created the most raunchy
There, the
scene.
it's
The
as if
innuendo was mwah.
it was so
I
good.
loved it. I loved
Everybody
it.
else is seeing things develop, especially scenes and little moments with our characters that we are totally oblivious to. Me and you know it. We're there. But
We're
our
there.
characters, we don't have any, our characters have no idea.
As it
They don't
should
see
be.
anything right as it should be. They see nothing wrong with what just happened. But yeah, moments of humor, of problem solving. It was unconventional, but we did it. Did it open the door? No.
No, but we're still
But
talking about it and we're still laughing about
right.
it.
And
So we
it's
won.
even it's even if it's ridiculous, even if it does nothing, it's better to take the chance and do it than just stand by the front door and by the door and be like, oh, well, I guess this is we're gonna get turned back now. No, take that chance.
And this is something that with you as a new player that I think surprises me the most is your ability to what they call fail forward. Have you heard that term, failing forward? It's
Yes.
your ability to not take this serious
Yeah.
and be like, oh, because I was just talking to Fluffy Goomba about this in the previous interview about how I enjoy missing my role.
Yes.
I am actually, I can have more fun with the missed role and a failed role. Sometimes it's horrible, but it's fun, right? Like, it
Absolutely.
took me a long time to get there as a player, and you just take to it naturally. Like, you're just like, oh yeah, I blew that. This will be fun.
It'll be
Let's.
great. Hey, Robin, you have aggravated or you have some damage now because you decided to put on the helmet in a magical citadel and run headfirst into a wall. And my character's like, this is a magical citadel. This is a magical place with magical artifacts. So I'll put it on and I'll run into a wall and it's magical, right? And wrong. It's not magical. And you just took
You
damage.
just hurt yourself.
But you found out not everything in this world is going to be magical.
And that's it's it makes good scenes. It makes for a good troupe. It's just nom nom nom
Yeah.
nom.
And
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was saying, still staying on like the moments I touched for Land of Lonair. For Vampire, I had a very interesting moment with Dylan, because we knew my character was presenting himself as a Nosferatu. His name is Thorne. He's presenting as a Nosferatu. And I told everyone in the group, this is going to be completely different from any character I've done in Vampire before. He's going to be it's going to be a completely different person, a different approach, and I'm going to play a Nosferatu. However, presenting as a Nosferatu, who he actually was Ambrose Windsor. He was a flesh crafter. He can change his face and become anybody. He can mold his flesh and bones. And there was a moment where establishing trust and you know, with considerate play, but establishing trust over these past few years with Dylan, I was talking and revealing myself as this is who I actually am, and I held up this face that was in my bag, who was that was actually mine. You know, he has like a system of faces, and he puts one on, he puts another one on, but he's like, in this bag is my true face, and so he holds it up. But as a player, I was actually fully covered, so I made sure to have my mask on. I looked like a ninja. I had the heavy cloak on, and all you could see was my eyes. And I said, Dylan, what would you like to do from here? What can we? And silently, we were communicating with each other, sort of take it from here, because I'm about to put on the theater while you put on the while you were talking about this and explaining exactly what I'm doing to my face that we had established in game one. So as I'm molding my face and doing this on the front of the screen, slowly taking off layer by layer and undressing this character, and then all of a sudden he says, and then he pulls down his hands, and before you is Ambrose Windsor. And so we're both working on this collaborative theater piece that all of a sudden, and then it unveils as I'm doing the physical, he's doing this over here. So that was it was a fantastic moment.
But it was somewhat, I mean, he knew this was coming, but this was improv at the same time. You guys didn't have a script.
No,
Yeah, it's
we didn't know how he was going to be revealed. We didn't know what we were going to do, but it was that trust and
yeah.
communication that we always had left open, that now that we were in front of people and we couldn't type or talk, we just, all right, we're
Here
going
we
to do
go.
this.
Here we go.
I'm doing, yeah, let's go. And it worked out. It's in those moments that you're just you know, spontaneous. They're not planned, but you have that trust and communication with your storyteller and the other players that make
Your other
such
players.
impactful scenes. Yes.
Yes. They're holy grail moments. There are moments that you will remember for the rest of your life. I have moments that I'm the years ago that I still remember crystal clearly. Like they're sometimes we call them war stories, but you'll remember that. That's what we're
Yes.
looking for. That's what we're mining for when we play
Ah,
these
I want to know
games.
your moment. I want to know your
Oh, there's
moment.
many. There's many. I'll share them later. This could take a long time.
Hey, maybe I could be part of one of your moments later in another
Well,
campaign
you already
or
have
in the
been
one.
with the door.
Oh, with the knob.
The knob moment. But
We
there's
shared the
more to
knob
come.
moment.
There are
Yeah.
there's more to come. All right, so looking at time, and I definitely want to get to one particular thing with the thing we started with that you mentioned, LARPing.
Yeah.
So hold on to your butt. When is your first LARP?
It's in February, February
Okay.
18th, I believe.
Cool.
Yeah, February 18th.
Cool.
It's gonna happen. I
So
don't know what to expect.
it's going to take. It's going to, I think it's going to take all of the things that you have had so far and mush them in a ball, and it's going to be a shiny diamond by the end of it.
I am very excited. I feel
And
like you said, I feel like these are stepping stones.
because, yeah, because you already have the theater, you already have the idea of gaming real time. You have this ability to interact with other players pretty quickly and intimately. It's going to take all of that and give it a nice shot of some sort of stimulant, and you're going to be on fire. I have a feeling you're going to be on fire. I would.
I didn't want to do it at first. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to, like in my heart, I'm like, I want to, but the brain was like, you've only ever done online stuff.
Yeah.
This is
Oh,
going to be
yeah,
completely
sure.
different. But then I also thought to myself, okay, well, you've been building these little step stones for this moment right here to be able to put everything that you've learned and learn from other people, such as yourself and everybody I've interacted with, role playing with, for this, so that you can actually get out there and do that. So I definitely feel like the process from 2018, 19 to today has been stepping stones for this
It's
moment.
been a heck of a ride.
Yeah,
Wow.
but
Yeah. I would.
I didn't want to be Bilbo stuck in the house. I wanted to
No.
go out for an adventure and find one,
You're gonna find
sign
one.
the contract.
Yeah. I think you're gonna really enjoy the LARPing side of things. And I hope you do. I hope you do. It's like a perfect natural step of progression for you. So
I will tell you how it goes and perhaps even post videos.
I need it. Yeah, I'm going to need to see. I
Also,
will
please
warn you.
expect I'm going to be just in your inbox because I know
Please.
you've
Yeah.
done this before.
Yeah,
You're
yeah, yeah.
seasoned.
I am a seasoned LARPer.
You are a
I
seasoned
and
piece of
I
meat.
as I has as a seasoned piece of meat,
Sirloin.
sirloin, that I will tell you to watch out for one thing while LARPing. Well, there's a lot to watch out for, but the one thing that I would warn you about is what's called the LARP hangover. And what
That
happens is you
is it like
are
character bleed?
it's kind of, but
Okay.
it's a matter of you are going to, how long's the game? 3 hours, 4 hours? Do you know how long
It's a four or
a
five.
chunk of time?
Yeah, very big chunk of time.
You're going to be in that character and not just at a table or on screen. You're going to be in physical space in that character going 4 or 5 hours, and you're going to be really excited. The next day, you're going to be tired. I remember my first LARP hangover, and I thought I was sick, and I was just wiped out because it was like a 6 hour game. And you're running and walking and talking and
And it's
having these.
mental stuff too,
Oh,
and
yeah.
oh my God. I didn't think that. I thought
Drink a
about
lot
like,
of water.
oh, is it good? Yeah, is it going to be and see, I didn't even think of that. My concern was how easy is it going to be for me to transfer a being like 5, 6 hours, maybe longer in this character, and then all of a sudden, all right, we're done, and go back to yourself and pop
Right.
right back.
Right.
Watching out
That's
for
part of it
character bleed,
too.
but the LARP hangover, never heard of it before.
Oh
Never even
yeah.
considered it.
Yeah,
No.
it's a thing. It was a thing for me and several other LARPers during that time. I've talked to other LARPers that have had similar, like, oh my gosh, I have to work today. Why did I do this to me? But it's worth it. It's
Okay,
worth
actually, that helps
every
me out a lot.
minute.
And I hope it helps people who are watching this who have
Yeah,
never
yeah.
LARPed before. Because now instead of like just the day off of for doing the LARPing, I'll take the day off after
I
to
would, yeah.
recover.
And yeah, it'll be, it's like the day after you've spent like 6 or 8 hours at an amazing amusement park.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. You've had so much fun, you're kind of tired.
Oh,
So yeah. Okay. Wow, I think I've hit most of the questions. I think we've done a pretty good job of it.
Yeah,
I'm
we've done
looking
a
over them
pretty
real
good
quick.
job.
Oh yeah, the one I wanted to ask real quick, we're going to go a little bit over, but have you ever considered GMing at all?
I
Have
think the
you ever
past
thought? Go ahead.
I feel like the past 2 years have been a training experience. This is just piggybacking off of what I of trial and error and training, like the building blocks, character building, interpersonal building, collaborative affairs, communication, seeing what works and what doesn't, playing with seasoned gamers and learning not only through the GM but the players too. But that all that to say is yes, I would absolutely love doing that. But also, I absolutely plan to storytell one day. And I hope very much that the first game will be Vampyre because it is where my heart is right now.
Sure.
And I have always loved vampire stuff from since I was in middle school, stealing the library books from the vampire library books and shoving them in my bag, because to starting TikTok and being like, well, the first characters I'm going to make are going to be all vampires, to getting into TTRPG in the first game I play is vampires.
So
So I would
it's
very
natural.
much, yeah, I'd very much like to stay in this genre. I love
Oh man, I
it.
just make sure you let me know so I can come watch.
Oh God, no.
I want to see. Okay.
Oh my God.
That's down the road though. Okay, so I think you'd be a great GM, so I think you should pursue that.
Thank
Hands
you.
down.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Hey Robin, thanks for being here.
Thank you for
Thanks for
having
doing
me.
that.
Thank you guys for
So,
watching.
yes. And tell folks where people can find you. And then for my
Oh.
podcast, I will have that information down in the show notes. So kick it off. It's all
Well,
yours.
I'm Robin. I'm Robin the God on most platforms, Robin the God or Robin the Goddess. On TikTok, I'm Robin the God. On Thursday nights, I play Darkness Over New Orleans, the Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle on Twitch for Twitch Roll for Dylan. Find me on Instagram and definitely TikTok for where I'll be doing more storytelling, more collaborations there, and keeping everybody updated on Vampire and everything else I get up to.
Perfect. Awesome. Robin, this was a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Robin, for being on the show. I hope to get you back on the show at some point in the near future. And I want to catch up with you about how that LARP went. So I think we'll have you on here sooner than later. So a couple announcements as we wrap things up for the episode. Before announcements, let me just, I want to thank all the cast members of Darkness Over New Orleans. It has been absolutely wonderful getting to know all of you, and getting to see all of you play and interact on Darkness Over New Orleans. Please, if you get a chance, if you want to see a good Vampire the Masquerade game, I highly recommend you take the time to check that out on Thursday night. I know, there's another well-known streaming game that happens on Thursday night, but do yourself a favor. And if nothing else, check out the VODs of Darkness Over New Orleans. I think if you're a Vampire the Masquerade fan, a World of Darkness fan, I think you're really going to enjoy it. And you'll get to see some of the principles and things we've talked about over the past four interviews coming into play real time. And it's great. It's great. So I just want to plug that as much as I can and really encourage people to check them out. So thank you guys. Thanks for Dylan, thanks for letting me borrow your cat, borrowing your cast, and guys, thanks for coming on the show. I honestly hope all of you come back on the show at some point, and I would love to share a table with you. So announcements, the Twitch game. The Bake Shop of Regulars with our fine crew of the Wildest Plus role-playing group is in action. That will be next Wednesday, and please check that out. We are going to be getting into episode three, and I am just delighted to have this game and the amount of creativity and energy that is going into it. It is sort of a continuation of our season two game that we played here without a GM, except for the fact that I am now more of a GM because we have more players. We have pretty much a full table. It is set in the world of Drachenfell in the city of Draken Falls. And there is an ongoing story. And the game system is a game hack that we created on our own, a fantasy hack of Powered by the Apocalypse, which segues me into Patreon. Here in the near future, we are going to start releasing bits and bobs of that hack, and our patrons will be getting that for free. Anybody that is signed in at the regular level and higher will be offering up the playbooks and the rules and the things we've been using. Patrons now, they will be getting very, very soon, before this month is over, they'll be getting episode one of our playtest for that game, and that'll be going there for them to listen to as well. So just a big thank you to all of our patrons, especially those at the Dragon Guard level. Scott Hippensteel, Patrick Kelly, Crippled Ninja, thank you so much for your support. We couldn't do it without you, and I mean that very, very deeply. A lot of gratitude, so thank you. Coming up for here on this podcast, there'll be more interviews for sure. If you are interested in coming on the show, talking about a game you're running or a Twitch stream you've got or a game you're publishing, or you just want to talk about your favorite characters and how you got started in the hobby, you can contact me at naturalgeekery@gmail.com and I will try and get you into the schedule as quickly as I can. You can also come on over to the Discord. The link is down in the show notes. Come on over to the Discord and say hello. We are a friendly, welcoming group. We have, in that Discord, there's a channel for the Bake Shop Irregulars Twitch game. We try to get on there about every day and have a discussion or just nothing else. Wish everybody a good day. So please feel free to come over to the Discord. You can contact me there and say you're interested in an interview and I'll work with you. One of the things I'm kicking around is maybe doing a small solo play episode, just me and our 2D6 Oracle that we created that the patrons have gotten. They got that last month on the Patreon, and just using that to play a solo game. I'm kind of thinking of looking at the history of Drachenfell and maybe doing a history on that. Whether or not I do that by myself or not remains to be seen, but that's on the table for being an episode. Where I'm also wanting to put together some roundtable talks on play styles and just overall discussions of tabletop role-playing game theory. So that hopefully next month we may see some of those coming through. Yeah, we're up and running, gang. I know we had a bit of some time off there last year. Thanks everybody for sticking out with us, but we are up and running. We're on a regular schedule. And I really hope if you're interested in any of this, please come check us out on our Big Shop of Regulars game on Twitch. You can also check it out on YouTube. Session 0 through 1 and 2 are up on YouTube at the Natural Geekery YouTube channel. You can go check that out at your leisure. Yeah, it's going to be it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for enjoying this hobby with us. Thanks for being on this wild ride with me over the past numerous years that this podcast has been going. And as always, I like to close out because it is super important. Just don't forget, you're needed out here. Your creativity is needed out here. Your spark, your joy de vivre, it's needed. You may not think it is, but it is. So keep shining, everybody. And I will see you on the next episode, or I'll see you on the Twitch game next week. Bye-bye.